you very much, Gary and music team, as you have led us into the presence of the Lord. And it's sometimes I think it takes time, doesn't it? It really does. And we don't always recognize the presence of God, who actually is here with us. And we'll talk about that a little as we go through the passage today. But a lot of it is us and God bringing us to Him and understanding that. And thank you, Gary, again, and team for leading us. Thank you for you as a church family. Not an easy time. And most of us probably don't even know each other's stories and what's going on in our lives and some of the challenges that are there, especially when we can't gather together in the way we were used to. And yet there are many ways we can continue to communicate and help each other out and understand how we are doing, what we are doing, what God wants to do in our lives, and so forth. And it's the same with many of our other churches. You're not alone. And I don't say that just in the challenges that you face, but you're not alone in the ministries that God has called you to and desires for you. And we do pray for your church. We pray for your, not only for COVID and to walk through that, for health as you walk through that, but also for your leaders and ministry as you search for a lead pastor and as you face some of the difficult challenges. Thank you for those who have stepped up in this opportunity. And I think many times that we do things that we never thought we would do, not because we choose them, but because we have to do them. And yet God is walking and leading us in that. And so thank you. Thank you for loving Jesus during this time. Thank you for loving each other during this time. Thank you for inviting others along to see how we can relate multiculturally, and multi-ethnically. And we thank you as a region on behalf of the fellowship, and just for your strength and perseverance. Actually, the last time I was here was just before COVID hit. And you may recall that, you may not. And so times change pretty quickly. And we know that, especially as we gain wisdom and gain in years. I think we discover that more and more. As Gary was saying, I'm part of a life cycles team, and we are discovering from many of our churches that the probably on the hard side, the cracks that our churches have, but on the great side, the God that we serve, who is greater than the cracks that we have. And so many of our churches are challenged with motivation, I would say. Leaders are challenged with motivation. How do we move forward? It's interesting, as we get close to Christmas, and I better get into the message here, but we get close to Christmas, we have this message, and it's our Savior and Lord. That's what the angels announced. And no better time do we need that announcement than now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, gracious Lord, you are here. You have brought us together, and brought us together whether we are at home in our pajamas, in a recliner, whether we are at work this morning, whether we are here putting pieces together. Wherever we are at, Lord, you have brought us together. You are Lord, and we are your children. Please help us understand that today. You know where you want us to grow. You know where you want us to be. You've created us, and please lead us in that way. And Lord, we know you are going to challenge us today to be more, to bring us to your level, to your throne, to your expectations. And Father, you know that will challenge us. And so we ask, as you challenge us, that you would encourage us to be able to get there, that you would tell us the truths that we need to hear to be able to get there, that you would tell us about yourself, tell us how much you love us, tell us how great you are, tell us how all those pieces fit together, so that we can experience hope, because, Lord, we desperately need hope. Father, our community desperately need hope. And it's only an everlasting hope that comes from you. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, who gives life where there is no life. In his name we pray and thank you for what you will do. Amen. How are you at trying something new? If there's one thing that I'm learning with COVID is we need to try something new. And I find that probably most of us don't enjoy trying something new, or we find it difficult, and so we're often forced to try new. If you look up on the website, I heard, or on the internet this past week, that they choose a word for the word of the year. And the word of the year this year is chosen by those who log on to a certain phrase or a certain word. That's how they determine the word of the year. And the word of the year for 2020 is lockdown. Who knew? So it means many people are trying to figure out what this word means, and so they go online. I think that's probably not the word for 2020, although I have no evidence to back my decision up, but I think the word for 2020 is weird. I really do. Whatever's gone on, isn't it weird? In fact, one of my favorite commercials is all about weirdness. Have you seen this commercial? I enjoy it so much. It's about eggs, and this mom is at home and wife, and she's cooking eggs and has cooked eggs for dinner and has laid it out nicely, and her husband comes home, and her husband looks at her and he says, what's that? He goes, "What? That's our dinner." Essentially, I'm paraphrasing it. You'll have to go look it up. And he says, "Well, that's weird." And then it spans the camera from her over to him, and it shows him, and he's wearing pants that are up to here on his chest. And she says, "That's not weird. Your pants are weird." Love the commercial. I love it so much that I actually dressed up a little bit, or I may have dressed up this year at Halloween with really high pants. Wow. New. How do you handle it? How do you handle it? How do you handle what's weird? How do you handle change? Acts chapter 13 talks about this. In fact, it changes a set now from chapter 1 to chapter 12. We have the focus on the church in Jerusalem and the surrounding area. And it actually focuses mainly on Peter and some of the disciples that were alongside Jesus. Then chapter 13 comes along, and now it's going to change a different direction, and it's going to explode, and it's going to go from Jerusalem and Judea, and now it's going to the rest of the world. Change. So what did the church need to change? What did God say about himself that would help the church go from their immediate context to see their narrow focus in what's in front of them to see the rest of the world? What do we need to hear from God about our situations in COVID, to blow our minds up, to know that he is greater than all this? He's going to simply tell us today. And he says this, the Holy Spirit tells us, each of us this, it's time. It's time. It's time to get on mission with God. Fellowship in mission. Let me just read the first few sentences from chapter 13 again. And it says this, among the prophets and teachers of the church of Antioch of Syria were Barnabas, and by the way, thank you for announcing all those names and all those words. They're not easy when we read through this passage of Scripture, and I'm sorry. Among the prophets and teachers of the church at Antioch in Syria were Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul. One day these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, and the Holy Spirit said, "Appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work I have called them." So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid on their hands on them and sent them away. So Barnabas and Saul were sent out by the Holy Spirit. They went down to the seaport of Seleucia, and then sailed for the island of Cyprus. There in the town of Salamis, they went to the Jewish synagogues and preached the word of God. And John Mark went with them as their assistant. It's time to get on mission with God. First thing God wants us to see here is it's time to be desperate. It's time to be desperate. It's time to be desperate about our relationship with God. It's time to be desperate about our relationship with God as individuals and corporately. Have you noticed the desperation of our time? You know, I find it fascinating that many of us would go home at the end of a day, and the way we relax is we go watch TV, we watch a movie, we go on our phones, we look on the internet. And so we're in a season where we can do that, and actually we have to do that now instead of meeting face to face in person. We have to go on it, and we don't like it. How many of us are tired of Zoom? It's a change. We're desperate for something, aren't we? Things aren't satisfying us. But what are we, who are we desperate for? And God says it's time to be desperate. And it's time to be desperate for Him. What were they doing here in this passage in chapter 13? It says here, we're worshiping. In other words, they were performing, they were serving, they were obeying God. That's the idea with worship here. They were focusing on what God desires. They were wanting to be with God. There are many ways for our church to worship these days, even during COVID. In fact, sometimes I think all it takes is a little creativity, and God is forcing us to be creative. I think COVID is a wonderful opportunity for those who think creatively, for those who think out of the box, to step up. I think it's time for our church to allow and have conversations with those who think differently. God is forcing us to. We're in desperate times. Not only were they worshiping here, it says that they were using their gifts. It talks about the teachers here and the prophets that got together. They were using their abilities that God had given them. Are we making most of the use of the abilities of the gifts of our church? Are we worshiping together? Are we using our gifts together? They were worshiping, they were using their gifts, and then it says here they were praying and fasting. You know, I think it's important to notice all of these. I think we regularly do some of the first two. I think we're good at worshiping, or we think we're good at worshiping. I think we're probably good at praying and probably using some of the gifts. But it's interesting he puts in fasting. Fasting. You know what fasting is? Fasting is not done here because we all need to lose weight. It's not what it's talking about, although it probably has a side benefit of that. It does not have to do with any sort of physical diet. Fasting is simply about being concerned. Fasting is about being desperate. It means in fasting in the context of Christ, in the context of focusing on the Holy Spirit of God the Father, it means that everything we do is consumed, is desperate for the presence and leading of God. Everything we do, they fasted because they were concerned. In the Bible, fasting is always the mark of a deep spiritual concern. It means you have no problem, or it's not easy, so there's no problem. But you push things aside to focus on God. As these men were concerned about God, what God would do, they met together, they exercised their gifts, and they fasted and prayed, and the Spirit of God spoke to them. Do you notice that? They did their part, and the Spirit of God spoke to them. And in fact, if you look back from chapters 1 to chapter 13, we get a fascinating study of the church since Jesus goes to heaven and gives us His Holy Spirit. And it has a common theme, and it's this. They get together in whatever mode that looks like. They pray, they fast, and God works. Chapter 1, when Jesus leaves to go to heaven, and just before the Holy Spirit comes, it says in verse 14 that 120 Christians, that was the church at the time, 120 Christians, that's less than the size of your church. They came to replace Judas. They met regularly to pray. And God met them there. Chapter 2, we're introduced to the Holy Spirit coming down. It says this group continued to gather together. And when they gathered together, the Spirit came and made an incredible difference. I'll get you to go look at that. We're not going to have time to read it. In chapter 2, at the end of chapter 2, we have this, the Holy Spirit comes and Peter gives this amazing talk. Conviction of what the Spirit has done, who Jesus Christ is, what the gospel is. And many people there accept Jesus Christ. And at the end of that, you have this picture of the church that met together, that prayed together, that ate together, that did things together. And it says it made those around them amazed. If you go to chapter 4, again, it talks about the coming together as a church body, praying together as a church body, searching God together, serving together, worshiping together. And it says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in boldness, and they came and found unity together as a church. In chapter 6, verses 6 to 7, it talks about the church helping the poor and coming together to pray, to see how they can help the poor better. And they found leaders. God brought them leaders. In chapter 7, 10 to 15, God speaks to Ananias. And this isn't the Ananias and Sapphira. We've moved beyond that one. This is the Ananias who goes to see Saul. And if you recall this passage, this is the Saul that we're later talking about in the passage we have now. And Saul is on his way to persecute Christians. He is taking them away. He's ripping families apart. He is putting them to death. And Christ stops him on the road and blinds him. And as he's in that state, God goes to Ananias and says, I got someone for you to talk to. And Ananias is sitting there and he's praying when he hears this voice from God to tell him what to do. And then there's many more pieces here. Chapter 10 and 11, you got the story of Cornelius and Peter. Chapter 12, you have the story of Peter in prison. And unfortunately, James, the brother of Jesus, he's just lost his life as well. He's been put to the sword. And so the church is in pain, is reeling. But it says there they got together to pray. And when they prayed, an angel of the Lord comes to Peter, sets him out of prison. He goes to the house where they're praying. He knocks on the door. He says, let me in. They're like, no, who are you? What were they? They were praying. And God answered their prayer. And that's what God says here. Are we desperate enough? Are we desperate? God speaks to those who are desperate. Some of you don't know my story. Some of you may. I went to university to teach. And in my fourth year of Trinity Western University, I wasn't sure of whether to teach or whether God was calling me to be a pastor and go into formal ministry. And I remember the last month, I had about a month left to school or 2 months, and I thought, God, I need to hear from you. I'm desperate. I need to know what to do. I want to know what my future's all about. And maybe some of you are sitting in that spot too, especially those of you who are changing jobs, careers, or trying to break out into the market or going to school and figuring things out. And I remember saying, Lord, I need an answer. And I need an answer for two things. And one was, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? And the second one was, is the girl I'm dating the one I should marry? Probably the two most important questions that we often ask ourselves. Relationship and career. And I kid you not, that it's amazing when you're desperate and you continually go to God. The next day, I was out going to class and I had this gentleman stop me. His name was Ron. And Ron said, hey, I need to talk to you. I'm like, pardon? I don't know who you are. Never met you before. He goes, you know, do you have a moment? I said, sure, I'm in between classes, but I can. So we just pulled aside and he said, Todd, I hear you might be needing a job. And I'm like, well, I don't think so. I had a job for the summer, but he says, Todd, it's a job that would take you away for 3 or 4 months and allow you to think about what your future's at. God doesn't do anything by accident. He gave me an opportunity to work at a fishing lodge on the Sunshine Coast, just outside of Powell River, up Powell Lake, for the next 4 months, where it was me, him, four other people, and I could ask those two questions and wrestle through those two questions. Our God is great. How desperate are we for a great God? It's time to be desperate. I better move us along. It's time to be desperate and to listen to the Holy Spirit. It's time not just to be desperate, but it's time to be desperate and listen to the Holy Spirit. Folks, God is on mission. God is on mission.
Now, I don't know how the Holy Spirit spoke here. We're not really told of how it all panned out in this passage. It may have been through a prophetic utterance of one of these prophets as they gathered together and they worshiped and ministered together. Or it may have been that he spoke as he speaks to many of us today in a deep sense of conviction. And as we come together, we all have that sense of conviction. And that may be how he did it. I don't know. But what we do know is that God spoke. God in spirit, the Holy Spirit, spoke. God, think about this for a second. God, Creator God, the God that can speak and make anything happen and make anything change. Creator God who speaks and you look up and he creates the heavens and the stars. Now, we might not all see the stars. Hope you got out last night because we seem to get rain on the last 2 weeks, and I think we're getting rain the next 2 weeks. But when you get a chance and the rain breaks and you have a clear sky, look up. God speaks and that just happens. Huh. That is the Holy Spirit here. He speaks and it happens. But he's also eternal. He's more than this, but that means he knows the beginning and the end. He's not bound by time. He knows when COVID starts and when COVID's going to end. He knows the purpose of it. This isn't new to God. God has all these pieces in place. It is the Holy Spirit, God himself, that gives birth to great movements. It is the Holy Spirit, God himself, that gave birth to world missions. This is when world missions started. This is when the church moved beyond its simple doors of Judea to the rest of the world. It was right here, and it was the Holy Spirit, it was God himself that made it happen. God is on mission. The Holy Spirit will open doors. His greatness and his plans, get this, cannot be stopped. And what he says to us is he says, listen to me and join me. Listen to me and join me. Join him like Paul and Barnabas did, like the Antioch church did. God was about to act and change the world forever. This is the beauty of Christmas, isn't it? Jesus comes down, acts, and changes the world, our world, forever. Notice the words here at the end of verse 2. The Holy Spirit says this, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. The Holy Spirit had called them already. That did not happen in a prayer meeting. He had planned this a long time ago, and now it was time. God had planned this. God is ahead of the game. He's not reactionary. He's proactive. God is on mission. It's time to listen. You know, we don't have the time, but if we looked at the rest between chapter 13 and chapter 14, we're given 3 or 4 or 5 stories of how God is on mission. And God does some amazing things. It's interesting, the first place they go to right after this is over to the island of Cyprus. And they eventually make their way and they have a conversation with the governor of Paphos. And it says here that the governor became a believer. In fact, he was looking for the conversation of the gospel. God is at work. Then they move on to Pamphylia. And in chapter 16, it says they gave a gospel presentation. Because this is what it's about, right, folks? It's not about just being desperate. It's not about just listening to the Holy Spirit. It's about knowing the gospel, because the gospel is the truth that allows for the freedom and the hope that we have. If you want to know what the gospel is, maybe this is the time that God has said, we're going to slow down at COVID because I want you to stop and really understand what hope is in your life. How many of us are wrestling with hope? How many of us are losing hope? Go back to the gospel. It says here that in verse 44 of chapter 13 in Pamphylia, almost the entire city turns out to hear the word of the Lord. Your city, Oak Ridge, Vancouver, Oak Ridge, your neighbors, Oak Ridge, they're listening, they're wanting, they're needing to hear about the Lord. Goes to Iconium. They said they preached with such great power that both Jews and Greeks came to accept the Lord. They preached boldly. They went to Lystra in chapter 14, verses 8 to 10. They healed a man who had been lame since birth. They saw miracles happen to show how great our God is. And in fact, in that time, it even cost them, because Paul was stoned to the point of death. They thought he had died, and they were taking him outside the city. And God raised him, and he went back into the city to continue on the mission. Why? Because the Holy Spirit led him.
When I was in the summer of graduating, and I had this wonderful job that God provided, we would take people in and out fishing. And we had a houseboat. We would take guests of McMillan Blodell. That would come up because there's a mill right there. And we had this fishing lodge that was halfway up Powell Lake. And we would bring them up, usually 10 to 14 people, usually like husband and wife and sometimes family. And then we'd take them out on the lake fishing. And so we had about six boats. We pulled behind this houseboat, myself and another guy. And we would let them out for the day. They would do their fishing. We'd take a little boat and go to them with snacks and just pamper them. And just a great time, beautiful area, wonderful lake. And so one time we were doing this, and in one of the spots we take them, it goes off to a little river to another lake. And so we dropped off the host, the company, as many wanted to go on the little boats, got them set up, came back and tied off our big boat. And some company stays with us because they don't want to go fishing, whatnot. Anyway, so we had just come back, we had tied off our boats, and we saw one of our guests come back in their little boat, and fast. They basically rammed up beside our boat and said, "Something is wrong, one of our boats is out there, but it has nobody in it." Change. So I quickly jump in our little boat that goes off to help them, while my partner, he brings his boat, the big boat, with the guests. And I go out and I see this boat, and it's just spinning in the middle of the lake. And he's right, there's nobody in it. And one of the guests, who was actually one of the workers of McMillan Blodell, he was the connection, he was the businessman that had invited all these guests, he was nowhere to be found. His wife was on the big boat that was coming out, and when I jumped into the little boat to leave, we discovered who it was that was missing. I said to my partner, I said, "Okay, we got to pray. I have no idea what's going on. And we got to pray not only for the situation, but also for this spouse who now may not have a husband." We get out there. A week to the day, we found this gentleman's body in the bottom of the lake. We never know what God is going to bring to our doorstep, right? We never know. But what God tells us is he's there. What the Holy Spirit in this passage says is he's there. We had met with this family that lost their dad and the husband a few times, because they'd been up a couple of times that summer. The couple that I worked for had ran the lodge for about 10 years, and they had met with them each year. We brought up the family. We went out when we found their father and husband's body, and we spent some time together. Hardest time I'd ever seen. But we got to share about the hope of Jesus Christ. We got to share about how sin rips life away and death is a result of sin. We got to share that there is a place called heaven that is a solution to death. And that place called heaven is given to us by the graciousness of God through Jesus Christ. And we got to sit there for the next 3 or 4 days and spend time with the family crying and praying and giving them an opportunity for real, real, real hope. And that's what God says here. It's a time to be desperate. It's a time to listen to the Holy Spirit and be on mission. God is on mission. Last thing I better get to this is, it's time not only to be desperate, to listen to the Holy Spirit, but it's time to go. It's time to go. It's time to act.
The Spirit told the church to move out, and the men decided where to go. Paul and Barnabas were acting on the basis, which Paul describes later in the Philippian letter, that being confident that the Spirit was not only thrusting them out, but was working in them to decide where to go. And this is how Paul says it in Philippians 2. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for God is at work in you both to will and to work for His pleasure. When they thought over the situation of where they were to go, like, this Holy Spirit didn't tell them where to go. Can you imagine? Isn't that some of our battle? Okay, God, I'm here. What do we do now? What's my next step? Do I take this course or do I take this course? Do I take this degree or this degree? Do I take this job or this job? Sometimes I think God just simply says, just go. Just go. You know, it's interesting though. He doesn't leave us alone without a brain. They went to Cyprus. You know what Cyprus was? Cyprus was Barnabas' home. Did you know that? His family, his friends, they were there. In fact, many of the Antioch church came from the island of Cyprus, so they went back to what they knew, to those that knew them. But they went back with the confidence that that God was in their choice. And that's the difference. Start with the natural around you, but know that God is there. No one is to wait for orders covering everything God does. I think there are many mistakes today as to how the Holy Spirit leads us, and some Christians get the idea that they need to be like robots and computerized individuals who would just wait and wait and wait upon the Spirit. But God is not interested in that. He is interested in our understanding that He is to live within us. He will direct us precisely at the times, and when He does, we don't ignore it. But when He doesn't, we move where we ought to go with the confident expectation that God is at work. God is at work, and He will open the doors to make a way for you. And when you follow this line of living, this is the most exciting place to be. God is creative. He's always doing something surprising, unexpected. You cannot improve the strategy of the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, I think sometimes today, I think our churches think we can. And so we get together conventions and councils and retreats and conferences where we try to decide what the next step is, the next program. I'm not saying these things are wrong, but I say sometimes I think we think too much of these and less of the role of the Holy Spirit and depending on the Holy Spirit. What we do know here is that going out changed the course of history. Going out changed the course of history. Following Christ into your change changes the course of history. Before this word from the Holy Spirit, there seems to be no organized mission of the church beyond the eastern seacoast of the Mediterranean. Before this, Paul made no missionary journeys westward to Asia Minor or Greece or Rome or Spain. Before this, Paul had not written any of his letters, which were the result of his missionary journeys and travels. But Paul and Barnabas went out, and today we have the gospel. Going out changes the course of history. Being on mission with God changes the course of history. Also notice they sent their best. They sent Paul and Barnabas. They sent their best. Expect to send your best when you're on mission. Last thing is the transition at Antioch was not about survival. It was about expansion. Folks, COVID has not hit us to see how we can just survive. COVID has hit us to allow God's kingdom to expand. Verse 3 and 4 of chapter 13, then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went to these different places. And the Gentile mission spread throughout Asia Minor, then to Greece, and then to Italy. And on and on and on until today. You know, the world apparently has something like 2.1 billion people who call themselves Christian. Because of God leading and that church standing up on that day years ago. the Antioch movement changed the world. I don't think it honors the Lord when a church drifts in survival mode. Oak Ridge's Antioch movement is not created by the question, how will we survive? But how will we meet this moment and every Antioch moment with the mindset of expansion? God was faithful to the church of Antioch as he went through this transition, and God is faithful to us. Let me finish with this last story. You guys are looking for a pastor. We have a few churches doing so. Last year, about this time, maybe a little earlier, we had a church in Hudson's Hope. Do you know where Hudson's Hope is? Hudson's Hope is in northern BC. Hudson's Hope is about a community of, I don't know, 1,000, 1,200 people. Pastor from Hudson's Hope, Tim, calls me up and says, Todd, I love it here, but I can't afford to stay here. My family can't survive here. Do you have another church I can go to? Do you have another area? I'm like, Tim, I don't know, man. Well, look. So happens to be that Port Hardy have been looking for a lead pastor for the past 3 years. You know where Port Hardy is? It's in the northern end of the tip of Vancouver Island. Another place that not everybody wants to go to. Tim calls Port Hardy. The Lord's already at work. He ends up in Port Hardy. Man, Port Hardy is grateful. And just another story, tremendous story. They built a building while they're waiting for a pastor, and just so much help. God's amazing. I get a call a few weeks later. Todd, this is Hudson's Hope. We need a pastor. This is what happens on the Life Cycles team sometimes. I thought Port Hardy was a hard one to deal with, to find somebody for the last 3 to 4 years to find a pastor. Now I got a place that can't afford to have a pastor. Want to know how great our God is? Want to know how that God can provide? I get an email from a fella in England. And it's tagged on with Hudson's Hope. And one of the board members at Hudson's Hope says, Todd, I want you to talk to this guy in England. I think he wants to come out here. So I email him, Skype him. Never met him before in my life. And I said, after many questions of what he believes, all those kinds of things that we normally do when we interview pastors, I said, bottom line, like, why Hudson's Hope? He said, Todd, my parents, this is a man in his early 30s, Luke is his name. He said, my parents were missionaries in that area when I was a little kid at one time, for a short time. I love that area. Okay. Who does this? Who does this? Nobody can orchestrate this except for someone who knows all the pieces, someone who knows all the needs, someone who is apart from time. It's our God. It's the Holy Spirit who puts all these pieces together. So I want to encourage you, Oak Ridge, because Luke ended up in Hudson's Hope. Now, he ended up there just after Christmas when all this stuff hit. And God still brought him there. And he's ministering to a wonderful community there. God has your back. God has your front. He knows what Oak Ridge needs. And he's at work. So as this passage told us, it's time to be desperate. It's time to listen to the Holy Spirit, and it's time to go. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, you're a gracious God. You're a God who answers. You're a God who is alive and well. You are a God who sees every piece. You are a God who's not hampered by surprise. Oh, thank goodness. Not only that, you are a God who actually deeply loves us and has died for us and lives for us. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Thank you for living in his Holy Spirit. You are a God who loves our community. You are a God who just breeds and bleeds hope. Please continue to allow us to understand the gospel. Allow us to understand this good news that you are a great God that has come to a miserable, sinful world to bring us back to you the way it ought to be. And Lord, that you can even use, that you are using COVID to make that happen. Pray for this church family, their search for lead pastors, their search for leads, those who are stepping up. We thank you. Lord, I pray for this community as it's fractured because we're all online. Lord, unify us. We are desperate for you. And as I ask in desperation, as you have taught us today, you are at work and you are answering. So thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, who gives life where there is no life, does the impossible, we thank you, Jesus. Amen.